Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. I want to welcome you to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I am your host, Celeste Moore, and I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening, to continue to learn and educate yourself so that you can be a better human. Remember, please leave a 5-star rating and a great review. It's always appreciated, and it just always helps this podcast to be able to get seen more. Also, don't forget to visit my website, sign up for some freebies, and I will be releasing some type of freebie every few months. Anyways, let's leave it at that. But before we dive into today's episode, I want to introduce our guest today. We have two guests. We have T.H. Irwin and Jessica Klingbaum. Is that correct?
That's okay. Right.
Okay, perfect. I just want to make sure I'm saying that right. So they are two best friends who got divorced at the exact same time. And although they had completely different experiences, they were lucky enough to have each other through it all. Rising from the lack of resources, support, and information during their separate journeys, along with desire to help others maneuver through the process, they created Ex-Experts online community and Divorce Etc. podcast. They are your reality check. They are an honest, encouraging, and positive space for everyone in any stage of divorce. There isn't a right way to divorce, but the Ex-Experts can help you find your way. They have lived, so they get it. So welcome, TH and Jessica. Thank you for coming on today's show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so excited to get into a little bit about your stories because obviously your biography just already wants me to ask so many questions. I'm like,
we have so many stories.
Just go for it.
I know, right? So what decided you guys to take this path? I mean, it kind of already explains a little bit that the lack of resources, but when you both got together comparing notes, were you like, oh my God, this is something that we need to do. We need to share. Go ahead.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we literally got divorced at the exact same time. We had known each other for many years. I've actually been married and divorced twice.
Okay.
My first husband and TH were best friends from high school. So we met when I was in college. TH and I met. We had a fun encounter.
We actually didn't become friends until after you
graduated. After college.
Okay.
And then after college, like, you know, the guys met, they were best friends. She and I were best friends. We got engaged within a month of each other, married within a month of each other, traveled around together. Our sons were born a week apart, like living life together. And then 13 years into our marriages, within 1 week of each other, we found out that both of our husbands were cheating and covering for each other. So they were telling us that they were going away on guys' trips, and we were home working and taking care of the kids, and they were going away with their girlfriends as couples. Yes.
Oh.
So we started the divorce process.
That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, it's just the beginning. Yeah.
They don't get off that easy. That wasn't just one trip.
But yeah. I said trips, plural.
Trips, yes, many, many trips.
So we started the process at the exact same time, and our divorces were very different. I actually had a very amicable divorce. TH's was a little bit more
acrimonious. A lot, yeah.
But every day we were in the weeds with each other. What did your lawyer tell you today? Did you know about this? You know, think about this. Don't forget to put this into your settlement. Whatever it was, we were young. We were younger than, we weren't really at the age yet where people were starting to get divorced. Mm-hmm. Our kids were super young. And so we would say to each other back then, like, oh my God, can you imagine if we had to do this alone? Mm-hmm. And we were like, one day we need to figure out a way to pay it forward to anyone going through this, because this sucks. And if we didn't have each other every step of the way, what the hell would we have done?
Right.
That was kind of how we felt.
So you both were married for, I was just curious, like 13 years, you said.
Right. I was with my ex for 18 years in total. I don't remember how long.
Wow. Okay.
That's a long time. More than 13 years. Not long enough. Not long enough.
I mean, they were long term. We got married very young. Yeah. It just was, you know, a lot of people's marriages end from infidelity. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was really about like, okay, well, how do we handle it moving forward? And being able to be there for each other throughout it all, because you can totally get caught up in all of the resentment and the anger and
guilt, you know, fear.
Yeah, everything. And it was like, how do we navigate this process where we can still enjoy our lives? We're not the bad guys. You know, we deserve the opportunity to move forward in a positive way. And that's really like the basis and mission of X Experts is like how to help people move through the muck and see that there actually is a light at the end of the tunnel. The whole process of divorce sucks. It doesn't matter if you're cheated on. It doesn't matter if you were the one that initiates the divorce, if you're the one that's told you're getting divorced. It doesn't matter. This is someone that you at one point presumably loved enough that you walked down the aisle with them, you know, and betrothed yourself to them. And now you're getting divorced and it's all kinds of awful. But it doesn't have to be forever. And we know there are a lot of people that are forevermore stuck in the bitterness of whatever happened to them during their divorce. And we were like, not going to be those people.
And and that was like a subconscious decision. I mean, we just, that's just not our personalities. Like we just continue to go. We just, that's just kind of what we do. We just move forward all the time. And really having each other emotionally is what enabled us to do it so much better and easier without even realizing it. And then once we realized it, we're like, holy shit, we need to make this happen because this is not easy. Yeah. Even the two of us doing it, like we had each other's back. Mother's Day, first New Year's Eve, who are you calling your first date? Who's not going to criticize? Who's not going to judge? Who's going to listen? Like we were like in our own little pod.
Right.
And that, and we were very fortunate.
There's just so much stigma still around divorce.
Yeah.
And we feel like part of our messaging in general is like, we need to break down the stigmas of divorce. Look, sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. And it doesn't make you a bad person. And it's, you know, we need people to move on and be able to accept the fact that it doesn't mean that, you know, you're looking for like disposable marriages. It's just you had, you know, good intentions. And it's okay. But like trying to find people that can empathize with you or listen and not be judgy and not be gossipy about it, it's not always easy. And so that's
kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy when you think of all the things that we're all talking about now, right? You can never talk about LGBTQA+, which wasn't even all of those letters to begin with. Couldn't talk about mental illness. You couldn't talk about a sick child. I mean, those are all like, hush, hush. Now we are coming out and we are talking about it. And we are happy to be the voices in front of those messages. Divorce sucks. It's an opportunity. It's something that happens. Let's move forward through it and live your best life. That's it. Yeah.
I love that. I love your guys' mission because I think that if I would were to have your resources, when I was divorced, I mean, so I was married very young too, with a very short marriage, and I didn't have my daughter at the time. So this was later in life, but I feel like I've had these two very significant relationships, that being the first one, and then not being married to my daughter's father. But it was like, it's kind of like what you guys combined, I've almost had in two different stages of my life, you know, and it's hard. I think the biggest thing I would have really loved is some sense of community, some sense of like, oh my God, just not even looking for all the answers, but just having some camaraderie, you know? And it's like, where do you find that? Unless it's like your children's, you know, possibly like someone else is going through a divorce in their school. I mean,
when you have kids, your community is so much smaller, I feel, than when you're younger.
And a lot of people feel like it's contagious.
Mm.
All of a sudden, some people don't want their little kids to, you know, have playdates with your little kids because of, you know, who's supervising at home or what's that going to look like? And there are a lot of Facebook groups out there that are supposedly community oriented, but there's a lot of toxicity in those groups. I mean, we've been in those groups. Like, all people are doing is bitching and moaning about their exes the whole time. It's not helping people get to a better place.
No. Yeah.
So people literally DM us and email us. We do private sessions. We talk to people. We have events. Like, we do offer people the opportunity to connect with others and find the resources that they need. Because when we were getting divorced, you could not find everything that you can find now on the internet. But the problem is now there's so much out there, you don't know who to trust. Everyone has an ulterior motive. You can find an article about how to find the right lawyer written by a lawyer who wants you to hire them. Mm-hmm. You can find an article about why you need a forensic accountant written by a forensic accountant that wants you to hire them. We're putting all the stuff out there. And like, these are all people that we vetted. This is all information that's trusted and reliable and honest. Use it. Don't use it. Connect with these people. Don't connect with these people. We're not getting a kickback if you hire that lawyer. But these are people that we would be happy to work with and that we trust implicitly and are happy to have them as part of our community for everybody who needs the resources.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. That really is. Because like you said, there's you're putting all of these experts together and it's your decision who you want to work with. So you're giving little, I think there's like little bios and information and, you know, it's amazing. You know, that makes life, like you said, divorce is messy and it's ugly and no matter how it came about. And so here, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You can get through this. Here are the resources.
Yep.
Yeah. And the stage after divorce, you know, we always talk about it. That's as difficult or even in some ways scarier than when you're getting divorced, because now you're like, holy shit, now what do I do?
Where's my team?
That's right. Right. You don't have all the people anymore around you that you
can
hire.
We are there. We're there. You're not alone. So if you were going through your divorce right now, Celeste, or your breakup, or, you know, single parenting, we would be your girls. Like, we're your girlfriends. We get it. It sucks. No bullshit. We'll guide you. We'll give you tools. We'll give you ideas of things to think about and new perspectives and, you know, just give you a place to be heard and know you're not alone and you're not crazy.
You give the dirty on divorce.
That's right.
Down to dirty on divorce.
I love it.
Yeah.
So because you were both in long relationships, what was it like when you first put your toes into the dating world? Or how long did, I guess, for you, Jessica, and then I'll ask you, TH, about how long was it for you when you decided, like, okay, I'm ready. Like, I've kind of gone through what I needed to.
I don't think it was very long necessarily. I remember we had broken up in May. And like that summer, I had like a fling with someone that I had worked with previously.
Ooh, fun.
That was like just a fun, young, like no strings attached kind of a thing. And I think that kind of like helped me, like, because when you get out of a relationship and it is because your spouse cheated on you, I've always had a very healthy self-esteem, but like you're crushed in a way that I don't know happens from other things. Like, you definitely are in a situation where you want to be able to still feel attractive and feel like someone thinks you're pretty and whatever. So I think that was like good for my own personal morale. And then I wasn't really dating all that much, but that following December, so about 9 months out, I met someone like randomly through some friends that turned into a 5-year relationship. I was not intentional about that. After that ended, and then after my second marriage ended, like, I've been very intentional about dating and like making the effort and doing the things that, you know, that you need to do to get out there. But I feel like that sort of just happened really organically. And it was great for, you know, for what it needed to be. But I don't know that I ever really got to a point where I'm like, I'm ready to start dating. But
just kind of happened.
I think people, maybe I had been set up a couple of times that fall. It just, I was working crazy hours and like getting home super late at night at a job that I loathed during that time. And like my kids were really little and I just moved. Like, I just think I had kind of a lot going on. Like, okay, if there's an opportunity to go out with someone, I will. But I wasn't on the apps yet. It wasn't okay. Like, but I was in it.
That was more after like a breakup, after a relationship that happened after your separation, that we were on a tear to date. It wasn't right after the marriage ended. It was more like after that first relationship ended. And then you're like, on a tear, on the apps. It's a job. Organize. Go. Like, for me, it was, I wasn't so interested in dating. I also had to relocate back to our original town. I was thrilled to be out of my marriage, but I also had a lot of self-esteem issues. I'm like looking at her and I'm like, well, my legs aren't as skinny as hers. Mm-hmm. And I may have actually bought her boobs, but my boobs don't look like that. And I was like so into comparing myself to her that I didn't feel confident. No. My husband was cheating on me.
Well, that's hard not to.
Right. So I think I was like really consumed by that. And then he moved her here like 3 weeks after we separated. So she was like all in my face all the time. So I just had a little trouble with that. But my first kind of date was this guy who I had a total crush on in college. And he knows this. And he just happened to have found me on Facebook. By the way, everybody, this was in 2008. So, don't judge.
And I was there too.
I was like, look, I found you. Can you believe I found you? And we totally flirted in college and we were great flirty friends after college and then whatever. So we went out and I like spent hours. What's my outfit? What am I going to wear? My hair is like dressed in all white. It could have been simpler. White tank top, white pants, like clean and easy. And we talked for like hours. It was such like that was getting my toe, dipping in a little bit because it just brought back my confidence. I had been a shell of a woman for many, many years. There was zero intimacy. There was no love. If anything, it was loathing. So there was like, I was starved and didn't even know I was starved, but it started with the basics, like being nice.
Yes.
And making you smile, making you feel confident. He was the perfect person to like shoot the shit with and talk about all. He's like, all right, tell me what the fuck happened. Like, you're not going to believe this. So we were like in the story together. And then after that, I was set up with somebody and it was a hot mess.
Oh, shit.
And I knew that I shouldn't have been set up. I said to the guy, I don't want to be in somebody else's shithole. And that's exactly where I landed because the guy he set me up with, this guy, let's say his name's John, set me up with Peter. John was sleeping with Peter's wife. So that's why John set me up with Peter.
Oh my God.
And Peter and his wife had separated until she realized that Peter and I were hooking up. And then she blew a gasket and it still ended. And I was almost more pissed after that breakup than my marriage because I was thrilled. But this one, I was like, you know all the shit I've been through. And you fucking did this to me. I hope we can curse on the show.
Yes, you can.
Just pouring out of my mouth right now.
It's all good.
That was like pivotal for me in terms of relationships, sex. But I definitely got myself back.
Mm-hmm.
And I unleashed, let's just say, in that relationship. And I was like, all right, he's a jerk, say the least. And I'm good for a little while more. So it depends on like what the breakup was like kind of determined what happened next now that we're like really talking about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your needs are very different when you end a marriage of 13 years, especially with someone who you've not had any intimacy, comfort, happiness with for so long. You just want someone to tell you you're pretty.
Yeah.
And hold the door maybe. And then that would be a great date.
The bar is really low at this point, right?
I was just going to say, and, you know, for everyone listening, like, we've all been there. If you've, like, been through a bad breakup and the bar is really low, but you really have to know inside and tell yourself, like, you deserve the things that you want. You deserve the things that you're looking for. Like, you know, well, he's great because he does this, even though he never does this. And it would be really nice if he always does this. Like, I have a male friend and he's like, but, you know, isn't everyone always settling in a way? Like, do you really think that we can have it all? And I feel sad when he and I talk about that because I think he's so settling with where he is right now. And I feel like you just have to not be in a rush. And I know what it feels like to feel lonely, but, like, the bar is so low when you get out of a relationship that someone gives you, like, an inch and you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest guy on earth.
Totally.
Or whatever. And you have to recognize, like, what you really deserve.
You said it. It's so profound too, because yes, you deserve all of these things that and more, but I think it's building that confidence up too, because, like, you've just been, oh my God, like, cheated on, and you know what the girl looks like, and she's like, I mean, just slapped in the face. I think that rebuilding that up takes time, you know, and it's a couple of things, right? It's finding out what it is that you don't want in your relationship, your next one. Getting crystal clear what you do want and what you do expect and what you are going to say, this is a for sure, not a, oh, well, maybe. Mm-hmm. And valuing yourself to know that, like, you know what? If I don't get all of these 10, then I'm not going to settle.
But also to realize, like, the longer amount of time you spend with someone when you know that in your gut and deep down in your heart, they're not the right person, you're preventing yourself the opportunity from actually meeting the right person.
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman friend who had gotten divorced and was, whatever, dated a bunch of people. And there was, like, this one guy that she was sort of in a relationship with for a few years. And she really wanted more. And he clearly did not.
Mm.
And I would say to her, like, you think, she would say, like, I'm open to meeting other people. And I'm like, but you're not open to meeting other people, because you don't understand that you have an emotional block because you're kind of comparing everybody to him because you're wishing that he would come around. And all of the time that you continue pining after him, you're closing yourself off to the opportunity. When you're out, your head is not open. You're not, like, expansive enough to let in the opportunity. So I think it's important for people to know, like, stay with someone who you know isn't the person, you're potentially missing out on other opportunities to meet the person.
Yeah,
you totally do not want to just exist. And if you want to live, then you need someone who's a partner. You need someone who you're growing with. And look, relationships don't work out because you're not growing in the same direction. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be like he cheated or an addict. It doesn't have to be like a whole bunch of drama. You could just be two adults and who are like, you know what? This just isn't working out. And move on from it. Life is too short to just settle. I settled for many years. I compromised myself, my dignity, everything. And I did it a few times in some relationships afterwards, because I really believe that as difficult as Peter was, and the other guy after that, they all served as lessons for me. So literally, I needed that experience to get another slap in the face and be like, TH, wake the F up.
Right.
You're doing it again. This is not enough. And it's hard to know what your worth is when you're coming out of a marriage. And from us, you know, we're speaking from a place of being cheated on. It's hard to know what your worth is. What am I worth if he's with her? What am I worth, like, nothing? You know, like, this is all part of your growth process. This is part of the opportunity that divorce gives you to wake up, open your eyes, open your ears, and really see and hear what's going around you instead of floating through it all and pushing it down and pushing it away. Be fully in the moment. So you're like, huh, I didn't even know this was happening. I wasn't paying attention, which is fine, but then pay attention.
Right. Or the fact that you're in denial, right? That's a big one.
Right.
We get
You don't have the strength yet to face it. We are all about therapy. Therapy with the right person will help with so many of these things.
But also people like being so worried, like, I'm never going to find someone. I mean, listen, right? Everybody goes through it. We've all had that feeling. We've all gone through that stage where you have all of these unsuccessful dates or you can't muster up the energy to even really start dealing. And the idea of going on the apps is so overwhelming. And the idea of having to like do your hair and pick an outfit and go out and you're like, for what? Like we all understand it, but you just have to like recognize that the effort is worth it. But if you, it really is true. Look, I think every self-help guru is all about, you know, you have to be comfortable with being alone. You have to be comfortable with who you are. You have to like who you are. And you can hear the words. And like, I always felt like, well, I do like myself. I like who I am. Mm-hmm. But there was, you know, a certain stage in all of these years where I was like, I really had to be comfortable. And I got to that point, like, and it took a little while where I was really comfortable to be like, I would rather, not that I was not interested in dating, but I was okay with a night in and I was okay being alone because I felt like, okay, I would rather look for a higher quality person than spend my time with a lower quality person just for the hell of being out.
I thought you were going to say, I'd rather look for a show to watch on TV than do my hair and go out on a date.
Oh, no. You know me. I was, I'm probably one of the few people who like always.
You really rally.
I always enjoyed the dating process. I'm super social. I love going out. I live in New York City. I love taking advantage of it. I'm all about all of that. But I don't need to like go on the third date or the fourth date with someone that I'm like, there is no chemistry here.
Yeah.
This is never going to go anywhere in my head. Then I'd rather say thanks, but no thanks. And stay home, you know, and try to look for someone who's a better fit.
Yeah. That's super smart, right? Because, I mean, it's like you're wasting your time. And I think a lot of people do. They're like, oh, well, there's like this one quality. Okay, I'll go on the next one. I don't like hate him yet.
Like, right.
What?
Give someone first dates can be awkward. I think if there's anything like, you know, redeeming where you're like, I don't know, like it wasn't an awful date. He's cute. He seems really nice. He's interesting. He's super smart. Like, I don't know, even if, you know, I would go on the second or third. And then, but I feel like if you know right away, like.
Nah, you ended a few. You're like, it's not going anywhere. It's done. We're out.
Because I learned, you know, either my own personal things that are red flags, but also you just kind of know who you
are.
It's a waste of your time. Yeah. Yeah.
I have learned I was in two longer term relationships between my marriage and my forever relationship that I'm in now that you meet people where you are. So I met Peter, who gave me a shred of nothing, because that's where I was in my growth. Mm. I was like literally fresh off the bus. I mean, I knew nothing. And then when I met the other guy who I was with, it was great because I got out of town and I wasn't telling my kids I was dating. And so that was like super exciting. And that was about like being sexy and like exploring sex again, like in a different way than I'd ever with my husband. That's for damn sure. And then that was my lesson. But he still met me where I was. He was never growing beyond that point. And I was ready to grow more. I learned and I wanted more. And he was good in that space. And so I think that you attract people who match where you are right now. And that's what you're attracted to. And that's fine. But grow from it. Don't get stuck there unless you have like really maxed out. You know, I'm always growing, but in terms of my own personal growth and stuff, I am where I need to be. I'm 100% where I need to be. And if I had met him 2 months earlier, I wouldn't have met him.
You wouldn't have gone out again.
Well, all relationships are life lessons, right? We learn something from them. And I hate that when someone's like, it's a failure. I'm like, well, you needed to go through this for a certain reason. And so, like you said, if you met him 2 months earlier, it wouldn't have worked out. And
right.
I mean, I think with both of you, I think I have this question because you both went through something very traumatic. What was trust like for you guys going into the next relationship? Was that the most difficult, or was it something else that you found was, I would say like the predominant thing that was blocking you or bringing from another relationship?
I think this guy, Peter, I trusted implicitly. I'm like, oh my God, this is great. I don't ever have to date. I'm going to get married again. It's going to be awesome. I fully trusted what was happening and him to get completely dumped on my face. And I needed that to wake up and be like, you're being naive.
Okay.
You know, you're not really seeing what's happening here. You're not even going out with him in the next state. Like, he's keeping you in the house, hidden away with your car in the back of the house.
Oh, my
God. So I trusted, though, because I was coming from a place where, okay, you know, he's filling all of my, they're not even basic needs anymore, but whatever, I trusted. And I always believed in the best in people. I've always been a little naive in that way. I've never really felt like, how could you possibly hurt me? Like, I'm great, you know? And so I think that trust is something that grew, but I trusted this person and that was my wake up call. And then I wasn't really in a relationship with someone else who I trusted to that extent until a year or so later. But it's trusting yourself. Mm-hmm. It's listening to your gut, because I can trust him, but if my gut's like, back off, then you have to trust what's inside, not what they're telling you. It's the way that it feels when you process it. That's kind of how I look at it.
All right, 100%.
I was going to say, I think for me, like, I too, like TH, believe in the best in people. I feel like people are good unless they show me that they're not. Right. And I definitely walk around with rose-colored glasses. And a lot of people that know me, like, tease me about it. Like, I'm in my own world of, like, no, everything's going to be fine. Why would anyone ever act like that? Who does that?
Right.
So I don't, in a weird way. Like, trust wasn't really a problem for me. I guess I've been fortunate for the most part with the people that I've dated. I haven't, like, been, you know, turned on my ass the way that I was when my marriage ended. But I do believe that people are inherently good, even though I know a lot of people aren't. I am an eternal optimist, and I believe what people tell me at face value, to my own detriment, possibly, but that's how I need to live my life, and it's gotten me this far, and I'm okay with it. So, and or maybe I have a good, you know, I don't know, bullshit detector, so maybe part of the reason why I haven't liked certain people or, you know, pursued things with certain people is because there was something a little off or a little shady. And maybe that was, you know, my way of telling myself that, you know, not to trust them. But I just don't feel like trust in and of itself, oddly, given my circumstances, was really a problem for me.
But I will say that I still don't 100% trust my ex.
Interesting.
I really don't. I trust that. At the beginning, I didn't trust anything. The kids weren't safe with him. You know, nothing good was going to happen, all those things. I believe that the kids are going to be safe with him now, but I still don't trust 99% of what he says. I really look into everything because he's a bullshitter. Hmm. And so just make sure you don't turn a blind eye and all of a sudden, you know, go back and start trusting things that aren't trustworthy.
Right. Well, he proved to you not to be trustworthy.
Multiple times.
That's also, right. Yeah. So that's also the example.
Right. But don't turn a blind eye like you may have in your marriage, like I did. Now that you're growing, make sure you look at what happened. I don't let that, you know, weigh on me but there are red flags all around his face when his name shows up. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, he kind of proved himself already. So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's something that TH said, and Jessica, you just said it. It's about really listening to your intuition, right? You said it's a bullshit detector for you, but that is really having the ability to know what's best for you and what's not best for you. So that's huge, because that is such a profound issue in a lot of relationships, especially with infidelity, is trust. So the fact that you both have been able to navigate other relationships and feel completely open and honest is wonderful. That's amazing. So
well, we still use each other for like check
sounding boards.
You know, I mean,
hey,
we're not like out there free flowing. It's like, yeah. Jessica, what do you think? I don't know. What do you think about this one? He said this, he said that. We still have our check-ins. Yeah.
Oh, for sure. And you should, like, forever. You should use as many tools as possible.
Yes. So
I love that. So, okay, another quick little juicy detail. And then I'm going to ask one more question, because I know that you guys have another show. But so what was it like, your first experience being sexual with somebody? How was that? Was it exciting? Was it nerve-wracking? Was it like, I haven't shown someone else myself for 18, 13 years. You know, what was your experience like?
I thought it was great, because mine was, like I said, like this fling with someone that I had worked with years before. And so it was super exciting. It made me realize, like, I want more of this.
Yeah.
but I also, again, I was coming from a different relationship. Like, it is true that my husband had an affair, but we had not stopped having sex. I mean, we were having sex up until the end, when I found out that he had been cheating on me. So it was rote, but we had not completely lost the intimacy. Okay. So it was super exciting for me. My second marriage, through different circumstances, having nothing to do with infidelity at all, we had stopped having sex for quite some time. Mm. So in that relationship, I was like bat out of hell when we, you know, when we started dating again, because I was like, I was yearning for that. And I knew what I'd been missing. And so I couldn't wait to get back out. So I would say for me, it's always been a positive experience.
Okay. Awesome. What about you?
I mean, it was great. It was like fireworks. I mean, it was like I was starving. And it was still awesome. It wasn't like just shreds. It was actually like, I met him where I was. So he was also starving for that kind of intimacy and passion and excitement and all of it, which is probably the only good thing that we had going on there. But it was great. It was great. And you know what? A lot of people have very low self-esteem coming out of a marriage or whatever it was, whether it's infidelity or not, you're starting again and you're going to be judged. The only person who's judging you is you. Mm-hmm. The only person who's telling you you look like shit is you inside of your head. Like, I was floored when I was being complimented. I was like, are you talking to me? Damn straight you're talking to me. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you just feed off of it. It's very exciting. And look, if you're in a fling, and, you know, Jessica and I talk about it, like, are you in your whoring stage or you're not in your whoring stage? Or like, women are whores and men are studs when they're all sleeping around and doing whatever. It's fun. Be safe, be smart, but it can be fun.
Oh, for sure. But it's such a profound and It's something that's like so important to a healthy relationship. And it's like you said, when you don't have that, you don't realize how hungry you are for it, right? And yes, we all have had our fun whoring stages. Some have had it in their 20s and 30s, and some have had it later in life. And I think it's okay. Like you said, enjoy it. Like, figure out what works for you, what you like, what works in every aspect. So that's amazing. I love it. Good, healthy sex life.
More important.
Hallelujah.
For sure. Okay. So one other question. What was one of your guys' favorite dates, and what was it?
I would say my favorite date. So when I separated with my second husband, it was like peak COVID. And so it was COVID dating. I live in New York City and you couldn't go anywhere and everything closed at 9 o'clock and it, you know, it was like fall and winter. And so it was a lot of like, you know, meeting someone at their apartment. I didn't have anyone over to my apartment, but the best date was a guy that I had come over to my apartment and he had said something like, you know, we should have a real date, like where we dress up, and like he would wear a suit and I would get dressed up. And he came over in a suit and I was wearing a dress and heels and we had like music playing and we were like slow dancing in my living room and it was super romantic. And like, I would say probably hands down best date of my life.
That's awesome.
It was just like a fantasy dream kind of a thing. Like, and we still joke about it.
I think that was my favorite date too.
Of mine?
Yeah. No, just in general.
I love that.
Like, I talk about it all the time. I'm like, oh my God. He told her to dress up and he's wearing a suit. Like,
it was just the
love that
thing. Yeah. And it's funny because I mean, like, I had bought, you know, alcohol that he likes or whatever. I don't even think we had a drink. You know what I mean? It was just like totally like into each other and super romantic.
It was great. I love that.
Yeah, it was a great date.
What about you?
I don't know if I have a favorite date. I mean, the thing with me now in this relationship is that laying on the couch and watching TV is like a favorite date. Mm-hmm. Or being in Vermont and walking the dogs is another favorite date. Or we do make date nights, which we're pretty strict with. We live together, but, you know, like who's taking out the garbage and did you walk the dogs and did anybody feed this and what's for dinner doesn't make it very sexy. So all of our date nights, when we make time for that, we like meet at a bar, we order our drinks, we flirt. And so I've had many favorite dates in this relationship, there's not just one. We have our date nights or try to extend it to a weekend if we can. But
I love that. Well, it's really about the connection, right? It's like finding those moments within your life, you know, because we all have children and crazy lives, and it's finding those moments when you can just really connect with them. So
yeah,
that's beautiful. Well, also, I would love to find out where more people can find, anybody who's listening wants to learn more about your expertise and your community and about your podcast. Will you share a little bit about that?
Sure. I mean, we like to say we're sort of everywhere someone would need to be or where someone wants to look for us. Our website is xexperts.com. It's all spelled out, EXEXPERTS.com. And that's our handle on all social media, Instagram, okay, Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok. We now have a YouTube channel where we have new content. Our Divorce Etc. podcast is on every podcast platform. Our newsletter is probably one of our main touch points, and you can find that through any of our social media accounts or through our website. So, I mean, we have the podcast for everyone who's podcast listeners, but on the website, we also have articles that go along with the podcast. We have the full transcript of every podcast. The website is all divided into sections, depending on what kind of resources you're looking for. If you're looking for stuff about, you know, the legal side of it, if you're looking for stuff about the money side of divorce or about custody, you know, or even, you know, moving on with yourself, what happens after divorce section. So we're online everywhere, and you can find us on any of those platforms. You could always DM us or email us. We answer the messages. We connect with our community, and we're growing every day. So welcome in whoever has been divorced or is thinking about divorce or is going through divorce. We've lived it, so we get it. And so we're here to help other people through it.
Amazing. I love it. Thank you guys so much for coming on today's show. I'm sure people have learned quite a bit, and I'm excited to, you know, jump on yours and see what we can talk about too.
Oh yeah, we're getting down and dirty.
Down and dirty. That's right.
I love it.
These were very lightweight questions.
Well, you know, they were because you know, having two is I really wanted to get your message out there, and I do at some point, maybe we'll just get in, you know, in some dirty ones and do that later.
Happy to come back.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thanks again.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.